Lord God, we praise you this morning. We thank you for the privilege it is for us to learn your ways, the life-giving ways of God. We confess that the journey is hard, that we stumble, we fall, we mess up. Show us your ways. Lift us back up and help us to encourage each other up again and again and forward on the path of your call. Show us your ways, oh God. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to go ahead and invite the children to head out this way to Children's Church. Next week, we'll have a children's message for sure. But we're going to go ahead this way to Children's Church today. So grateful for all of you here with us today. I want to say thank you to our worship team. We're actually going to Children's Church today. I'm sorry. I feel worse than the kids do, I think, on the Sundays where we don't have a children's message. So, today is the first Sunday in Lent. It reminds me a bit of what it's like if you're ever on a sports team in school or in the town rec league. You're so excited to be on the team, to be a part of this. And you get there to the first practice, and if your practices were anything like mine, it's no fun at all. They say, okay, start running. And you start running. And you run, and you run, and you run. And then you start doing drills, and you're like, this stinks. I didn't sign up to do drills. I already know how to shoot the basket or kick the ball. Why do I need to do this? It's hard work. And as the season goes on, you can even hit those plays where you're like, what did I sign up for? I thought this was supposed to be fun, and it's not fun at all. On the other hand, you might just have the kind of experience that I have a feeling the players at the University of Minnesota basketball team are having right now, where all that hard work that they've been putting in from before the season started and through the season, you start to think, this is why I signed up. This is great. And you start winning. And, of course, most of us here are rooting for them today, right, when they play Wisconsin? Most of us. Lent is like that. Every year we come to the season of Lent as a church, and we're reminded of the joy it is for us to be followers of Jesus. And then Lent starts, and we're like back to training camp. And we're called to focus in on the basics of our faith, why it is that we're on this team at all, and what is demanded of us if we're actually going to be followers of Jesus. We sell this Christian thing way short here in America. We keep saying it's all great joy, and it's going from victory to victory. In fact, some of us live our Christian lives that way. We go from Christmas to Easter to Christmas to Easter, and you know, it's just supposed to be all joy and fun and victory. And if we fall into that kind of thinking, we're missing out on what it's really about. You'll never experience the fullness of joy, the real life that we're called to, if you do that. If all you do with your instrument or all you do with your sport is run from concert to concert or game to game, and you don't do the hard work of practicing the skills and learning what it's all about and practicing just focus on your aim, you'll never experience the fullness of joy that the Christian life was intended to bring, that Jesus came to bring you in this world. So thank God for Lent. Can you say that with me? Thank God for Lent. I bet you've never said that before. Because it's a chance for us to get focused, to get back to training, to remember what this is about, why we're here. And it's not for us to work our way to Easter. It's for us to work our way to the cross. I want to be clear. Actually, you think about Jesus, whose path we're going to be looking at through this season of Lent, learning from Jesus' path. His path as a human being was a path to the cross. He got himself to the cross. He got himself to that place of denying himself, taking up his cross, and dying for the sake of others. And then he just had to wait on the Father, wait on the Spirit to do what was the Father's and the Spirit's to do, to raise him from the dead. It's not our job to get to Easter. It's our job to get to the cross. Jesus came. This path that we're called to follow is this path of giving our lives in obedience to God as a blessing to the world. To, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. To let our light shine, to grow as Jesus' disciples so that the light of Christ shines through us for the sake of the world, not just for our own pleasure. So I want this Lent to be an opportunity for us to get back to the basics, to remember maybe for some of us, the first time to realize that this is actually what it's all about. This is our call, to look to the path of Jesus and learn this life of discipleship, to grow as his disciples so that our light shines for the sake of the world, for the sake of God, not just for ourselves. So honestly, many of us, if we've been around the church for a while, we know that this is our call. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, as he is leaving the disciples, says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that. But it's really a hard thing to do. How is it that we can make disciples of all nations? Now, we're not even sure how we can grow as disciples ourselves. So what I want to do today is to take a few minutes and look at the example of the Apostle Paul as he discipled Timothy, that's his name. He discipled a lot of people. As Paul discipled Timothy. And as we look at that, we can learn a couple of things at least. One is how we can grow as disciples by seeing the example of how Timothy grew as a disciple thanks to Paul. And we can take a look at how we can help others. We can fulfill this commission God's given us to make disciples of others. So let's look for a moment at this. This is from 2 Timothy. Paul is writing from Rome to Timothy, as we understand it. Timothy was in Ephesus, the city where a new church was started, and where problems came up. Timothy is sent there to help out, to kind of bring about some peace among the people and to get them back on this track of living as disciples together in Christ. And Timothy's having a really hard time of it. So Paul actually goes there to help him out. And Paul can't quite pull it off. Paul gets into trouble there. Paul's not able to get these people from fighting with each other and the false teachers from teaching stuff and other people listening to them and the divisions continuing to grow. It makes me think of how ministry can be so difficult. And whether it's here or you look at other churches, we all have seen how hard church life can be, how hard ministry can be. And it troubles me sometimes because I feel like if we're praying, shouldn't it be easy? But is it? It's not always easy. And if we look at the example of Timothy and Paul, we actually realize that even for these saints, it was hard. So that should give us some courage. And in fact, that's why Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter. It's to encourage Timothy because life is hard, ministry is hard, and it doesn't seem like they're getting anywhere. In fact, Paul, who went to help him, got arrested and sent to Rome. He's in jail because he was trying to help move the cause of Christ forward. And so Paul writes to him and says, don't give up hope. In fact, listen to these words that he writes at the beginning of his letter to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. See, ministry is going to be hard. Life's going to be hard. Don't let that get in your way. It's like Peter walking on the waves. Keep your eyes above the waves and keep them on Jesus and keep on going. Because even when it's difficult, God is with you, and we need to keep going. And so Paul goes on with his letter to encourage and exhort Timothy. And this will be the beginning of the reading today. It's from chapter 3, verse 10 and following. And as we listen to this, I want to encourage you to think about how it was, how Paul lays out how he discipled Timothy, and what this can tell us about how we can allow ourselves to be discipled and how we can disciple others. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. There's so much in this passage. I would love, if we had a couple of hours, do we have a couple of hours? No. I'd love to just really take our time walking through here. But what Paul is writing out of here is this deep passion that he has to make sure that the light is shining in Timothy and that that light gets passed on to others. This has got to be our passion. As followers of Jesus, this is what Jesus' path was about. It was about reconciling the world to God. It was about leading people to let that light come alive in them and then through them for others. It's about passing on this life in God to the world. We've got to be about our mission. In confirmation class this morning, we were talking about the purpose of the church, and a church that loses the focus of purpose, why we're here, ends up unraveling and losing everything. And our purpose as a church is to make disciples of all nations, to lead people to live with their light shining and pass on that light and that life to others. So how do we do this? How can we grow as disciples so that our light is shining? And how can we go about passing on that light to others? Let's look at a few of the things that are said in this and get some ideas. Here's how Paul did it for Timothy. You know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me. So let's just walk through those things. These are the ways in which Paul's faith was caught by Timothy. My teaching. The teaching is really important. If you want to grow as a disciple, I want to challenge you today to get one of these Bibles or to pull out your Bible and to take time to read it. The teaching of God and the Word of God, as Paul says here, is critical. All Scripture is useful, not just bits and pieces of it, but all of it. We need to be taking the time to getting to know the Scriptures. I want to encourage you to be a part of one of our small groups here at church. I want to encourage you, if you are already a part of some ministry here, make sure that as a part of your ministry, on your committee meeting, you're taking time to read the Bible and learn God's Word together. We need to be spending time in God's Word. And I love the fact that here at Salem, this has been a huge part of our tradition for 127 years, however long it's been, that we've had some great Sunday school classes, confirmation, youth programs, and on the list goes on. I thank you for the many of you who are part of that. It's a great thing. Be a part of that. But I also want you to know that growing as a disciple is not just about gaining more head knowledge. Becoming a disciple isn't going to happen just because you've memorized the Scriptures, because you know all the doctrines and the teachings of the church. There's more to it than that. And we can learn about that by what Paul says here. You know all about my teaching. It's important. I want to say that right up front. But he also says, my way of life. We need, if we want to grow as disciples, to look to others from whom we can learn about the way of life. The call to follow Jesus is about a lifestyle. It's about living our lives. It's the decisions that we make on a day-in, day-out basis. It's how we act. It's how we use the resources that God's entrusted to us. It's this manner of life, this lifestyle. We need to look to people in our lives from whom we can learn about a godly, Jesus-following lifestyle and try to live into that and to allow our lifestyles to be a witness to those around us. And so I want to encourage you to think about in what ways is your lifestyle, the choices you're making about your money, about your relationships, about where you're investing your time, how is that a witness to those around you? To your children, to your family members, to your neighbors. You know, this is one of the key things I love here at Salem. Our children, youth, and family ministries have made this philosophical shift of not thinking of ourselves here at Salem as kind of the outsourcing place for spiritual life to be given to our kids. We will do spiritual direction, guidance for children whose parents aren't involved here. Believe me, we'll do our very best. But our true aim, our desire, is to equip parents to be the spiritual mentors, the primary spiritual mentors in their children's lives. You know, I think of what we read in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Listen to this. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. That in all of life we are called to be sharing our faith, our lifestyle, our relationship with Jesus, with those around us, beginning, if we're parents, with our parents. You know, there are studies I've mentioned before that show how families that sit around the dinner table, I mean, you hardly have to do anything else, but if you just are sitting around the dinner table on a regular basis and around the dinner table sharing stories of how God's been at work in your life, that will transfer to your children. There's studies that show that children who ask questions of their grandparents or grandparents who share their stories with their grandchildren about how life was like when they were younger and how God was faithful in the midst of the challenges, like Paul is saying to Timothy, you saw me going through these persecutions, you saw me going through trouble, and God delivered me from all of them. How those stories end up enabling the little children to grow more resilient in life, more full of faith in God and more faithful in following God. Sharing our stories, like many have done this morning in Sunday school, is really an important thing. So for us to be paying attention here as we make disciples to the teaching, but also to the lifestyles, the sharing of our life stories with one another. And then Paul goes on, my purpose, my aim in life. You've seen this, Timothy. Let it disciple you. Let it encourage you to give your life to Jesus and to his mission on earth. Paul was passionate about living out God's call in his life, letting the power of God's Spirit flow through him in ministry and in life to others. And each one of us is created to live with a sense of purpose. In the midst of all the different demands on our lives, the distractions that are there, Lent is a chance for us to get focused once again. Okay, all these things to do, all these things to go after, but what is it that's at the heart of who I am and of who God is calling me to be, what God is calling me to do? And for us here at Salem, I just want to be clear off the bat. That's for us to be making disciples. It's for us to be leading people to life in Jesus Christ and to live in Jesus Christ, and to pass that light on to others. We've got to be about this mission, and I want us this Lent to call back, come back to this mission, and think about how we can do it. Paul goes on in this passage to talk about, you've seen my faith. You've seen the characteristics that are true to who I am. Faith, patience, love, endurance, you know, these virtues of character. Timothy's been able to see these virtues in him. I think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control. Do people see these in you? I love seeing people at church, but I don't want to just fill these seats. I want us to go out from here as people of character. When people see us at school, or people see us at work or in wherever we go, for people to see these fruit of the Spirit, these virtues alive in us. Who is it that you can look to kind of learn those virtues, be encouraged in those virtues? And who is it that you are encouraging in that kind of a faith that isn't just about getting everything right, but living a life of love for others? And then Paul goes on, he talks about the persecutions, the sufferings, the kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. And again, what we have here is Paul's life on Timothy's life, how discipleship is one life upon another, encouraging others to live it out. And I think about those people in my life that I've looked to through the year, and I've learned about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus from. I think of my grandmother, who was an immigrant from Syria, who lost so much going through that time 100 years ago. Yeah, 100 years ago. But she shared these stories about God's faithfulness in the midst of it. And so now when I face these difficult times in my own life, I think back to grandma and I learn from her how I can handle the challenges of today. I think of a man, Bill Sandstrom, a member of our church who is a retired pastor. He's in his 90s now. He's in hospice. And he was sharing with me the other day of how when he did his internship 50, 60 years ago to become a pastor, he did a hospital visit that first year in ministry. And there was this man who was in pain and who was dying, who was at the end of his life and yet was handling it with such grace. Had a positive frame of mind. And he was a witness then and is now 60 years later to Bill as to how Bill can handle, how Bill can live as a disciple of Jesus faithfully even as he is dying. I want to ask you this morning two questions for you to carry with you into Lent. The first one would be, who is it that you look to? Who is it that you can look to as a witness to you, a testimony to you of how to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Who's the Paul for you? Maybe there are a number of different people you can look to. Maybe some of them are in the past in your life, and maybe some of them are around you right now here. I would encourage you to pray to God, who is it you'd have me look to and learn from that I would grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ this Lent? And the second question would be, who is it that God is calling you to pass that life, that light on to? Who is it that God would have you disciple, if you could be so bold? I know you may feel like I'm hardly even on the path. But you see, this is a part of what God's calling us to do, is to make disciples of all nations. And we can do that even in our little ways. Who is it that God would have you encourage toward light, toward the light of Christ? Maybe it's your children or your nephew or niece. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor, a person that you can share a story with or just take out the coffee and get to know. Maybe it's somebody that you can encourage to come here to church next Sunday. Who is it? How is it that God would have you take the light you've been given and seek to light the lamp in others? We're called to be disciples and to make disciples. It's not enough for us just to come to the soccer field and kind of stand around saying, isn't it great to be on the team? We're here for a purpose. It's going to take some work on our part. And the New Testament, Hebrews especially, talks about how much we need the encouragement of one another to grow as disciples. And I want to ask you to help me and to help one another, encourage one another forward on this path of discipleship this Lent. That we would grow as the men and women of God that we've been created to be. That we'd take the light that we've been given and light the lights, encourage the light in one another and in others. And that together, the light of Christ would shine for all the world to see. Amen? Amen. Gracious God, we praise you this morning for the privilege we have of worshiping you. We thank you for the privilege we have of coming around your table this morning and of remembering the story of your pilgrimage, of how you gave your life that others might come to life in you. Oh God, meet us now around this table. Pour out your grace for us and lead us forward to your glory, to our neighbor's good. We pray with thanks in Jesus' name, amen.